ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 18 20। वी रीड दिस वर्ड्स एंड आई विल टेक द टेक्स्ट 22nd विच हैज अ पर्पोर्ट। श्री राजो वाच कथम त असुरं भावम् अपोयन्तापिकं गुरो इन्द्रेण प्रत्यस्तत्म्यं किं तत्तादु वृतं हि तये। Translation: King Parikshit inquired, "My dear Lord, due to their birth, the 49 Marutas must have been obsessed with demoniac mentality. Why did Indra, the king of heaven, convert them into demigods? Did they perform any rituals or pious activities?" Text 21. Ime shadadate brahman rishyo hi maya saha parijan parijnanya bhagavast bhagavam tano vyaktum arasi. Translation: My dear brahmana, I and all the sages present with me are eager to know about this. Therefore, O great soul, kindly explain to us the reason. Text 22nd. Shri Suta Uvacha Tat Vishnu Ratasya Ta Bhadrayane Vacho Nisham Yaditam Alpa Asavat Sabha Jayan Ta Nibhite Nibhitena Chetasa जगदा क्षत्रया सर्वदृश्यना। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Sri Suta Goswami said, O sage Shaunaka, after hearing Maharaj Parikshit speak respectfully and briefly on topics essential to hear, Sukhdev Goswami, who was very well aware of everything, praised his endeavor with great pleasure and replied. Purport: Maharaj Parikshit's question was very much appreciated by Sukhdev Goswami because although it was composed of a small number of words, it contained meaningful inquiries about how the sons of deity, although born as demons, became demigods. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur stresses that even though Diti was very envious, her heart was purified because of devotional attitude. Although another significant topic is that although Kashyap Muni was a learned scholar and was advanced in spiritual consciousness, he nonetheless fell a victim to the inducement of his beautiful wife. All these questions were poised in a small number of words, and therefore Sukadev Goswami very much appreciated Maharaj Parikshit's inquiry. Hare Krishna. So, in this chapter, which is chapter 18 of Canto 6, entitled Diti Vows to Kill Indra, we can see about the wonderful inquiries that Maharaj Parikshit is making. Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a narration by which originally done by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, which has been repeated by Sukadev Goswami to all the sages of assembled. And because Suta Goswami had very wonderfully observed and heard the narration which was given by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, while narrating what he had heard from Sukadev Goswami, he is also adding what he had seen while he was hearing this narration. It is not only what he had heard, but what he had seen also. So herein, it is explained that after Sukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that the sons of Diti, which were supposed to be demons, they got converted into demigods. So Bhai Parikshit, who was extremely attentive, in spite of no food, no water, no sleep, for practically a couple of days now, he's making this very, very relevant inquiry. He wants to know everything very, very clearly. He didn't want any grey area. So he was confused and desirous and inquisitive and eager to know as to why the sons of Diti became demigods. And this inquiry which Maharaj Parikshit is making was very pleasing to Sukadeva Goswami. And that is what is narrated by Shonagarishi. Rishi. Goswami. He said that Sukadeva Goswami was very pleased. This verse 22. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Oh Maharaj, oh great Shonaga, after hearing Maharaj Parikshit speaking respectfully and briefly on topics essential to hear, Sukadeva Goswami, who was very well aware of everything, praised his endeavor with great pleasure." Now this is what Sukadeva Goswami saw, that yes, this pleased Sukadeva Goswami. So Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but a scripture which is arisen from inquiries. From a heart which is filled with a lot of inquiries, simultaneously filled with desperation. So it is nothing but inquiries with great desperation. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, was dying in 7 days, and he wanted to understand the highest purpose of life, and whatever inquiries he is making is in that background of utmost desperation. The Bhagavatam is a scripture arisen from the inquiries made with utmost desperation. So a person who is about to die in 7 days. So, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, and inquiring about Srimad Bhagavatam is a sign. It is very, very important. There are so many slokas, one after another in Bhagavatam, stating the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ruttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishrati. We all assembled here and practicing bhakti yoga are aiming at how we can establish bhakti in our heart, which is now having sense gratification sitting in our heart. How we can replace maya with Krishna. And this verse very beautifully explains how it happens. Nashta praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. By regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, through our ears, we can establish this fact of establishing Krishna in our heart. So this hearing process is very, very important. How to listen, how to hear is very important. Not only in our spiritual circle, but even in the material world. There was a particular book I was reading some time back, written by one of the very, very leading corporations in America. They are dealing in computers and military guided systems. There are companies which make computers which has military in doing their military work. So they are very, very high-tech equipment they are making. Very high-tech. This is called the Sperry Corporation. S-P-E-R-R-Y. And they have their motto, they have their saying. Like every company, there is a saying. Which the saying tells us about what is the principle of the company. There was one company which was into giving mortuary services to Christians, when they die. They have the services they require, so they used to do mortuary services. This was a big company, listed in the stock exchange in New York. So that big company is big business.
And you know, they would come up with their slogans of the year. What is the slogan of their company? And they would, and of course there is a competition. There is a competition of which is the best slogan. And what if company which has the best slogan gets the best prize? This company, this Machuri company, got 2 years consecutive the best prize of the best slogan. The first year, when they hit the neutralization, when their company was listed, they really wanted to come with a big bang. So they made a slogan. They said, "We give deadly services." So it was dominated the top slogan of the year because they went into services which are dealing with dead bodies, and they said, "We give deadly services." And they got the best prize. The next year, they came up with another slogan. They said, "Call us when you are dead." Call us when you are dead. So this also got the best prize. So every company is promotes a slogan which is the driving force of the company, which really shows what the company is meant for. The Sperry Corporation, which is a multi-billion dollar company, one of the leading companies supplying military equipment and computers related to military work to the majority parts of America and many parts of the world. Their slogan is that we understand how important it is to listen. The slogan of their company is we understand how important it is to listen. And they say that when the employees do not listen properly, there is a huge losses because certain goods are shipped again, certain complaints are not attended, and so on and so forth. And there is so much focus on how they should hear their customers that they came up with three principal important points of what is required for a good listener. What are the three things that a listener should have to be a good listener, and which is very much required even in our spiritual circles. And Prabhupada said you can take gold from a filthy place. So of course the company here is talking about big profits and how they should hear the customers. But we can take that gold which they have, you know, which top management gurus are applying it for their company, and we can use it for our listening or our hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this company is the first test of a good listener. All of you are listening? So the first test of a good listener, that he always finds points that interest him. And compared to that, the company says, a bad listener, it tunes off very fast. It shuts down very fast. When he hears in the beginning that it's not of use to me, he shuts down. But a good listener, he will hear the whole thing and find what is there in this which is useful to me. That's the first qualification of a good listener. Many times when we speak for Srimad Bhagavatam, we find some sutras or we find some aspects of scriptures which we find is not so much irrelevant to me. And we shut down. We are sitting there, but we are not hearing anything. But a good listener is always waiting to find which point Krishna will reveal to the speaker which will be useful to me. How it will be useful to change my life and make it a better way to serve Krishna. That's the first point of a good listener. He never shuts down. He always is hearing and finding out things on what can be useful to him. Number two, the company says, a good listener holds on his fire. What they mean is that when you hear something, a good listener will hear the full thing before he decides to accept it or challenge it. But a bad listener will immediately hear something and want to challenge it. How is it possible? Why this? Why not this? But a good listener will hear completely and then decide whether he wants to challenge it or want to accept it. Similarly, you know, when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we might not be in the mood of challenging because we are devotees of Krishna. We already know the Bhagavatam is a scripture which is relevant to me. But some points you might not understand. And there are devotees during Prabhupada's time, they didn't understand a particular point, they were challenging Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada gave a reply which was not within their brain, they left. It became a challenge. Let's hear the whole thing. That is, because everything that I remember once, first when we went to Vrindavan in the year 1989, we heard stories from the Yatra leader that Krishna would come from Nandagam to Vrindavan every day, or he would go from this place to that place every day. With a very far off place, it's practically kilometers away. And we asked him a very natural question. I said, how is it possible? Is Krishna just going from practically 50 kilometers away, going from here to there? And then we got an explanation. The Vrindavan is like a lotus flower. And lotus is open. When Krishna wants to travel, the lotus closes. So the places come very close. And he said, in the beginning, it made no sense to me. I wanted to challenge it. But then, as you keep on hearing, when you get more faith in Krishna, then you understand, Krishna can do anything. Krishna can do anything. So that lotus closing and opening was very easy to accept. And there are many such things. The sun and the moon being what is closer and so on and so forth. Sunday comes to Monday. So there is explanation. It makes no sense in one sense. We want to challenge it. But a good listener accepts the Bhagavatam in a complete way. What is Srimad Bhagavatam all about? It is words of Krishna, and Krishna is not something which is a dokshaja. It cannot be understood by our senses. It doesn't challenge it. The third quality which this commonly mentioned, which is useful to us also, is the listener should be willing to exercise his mind of what he heard. Many times when we are hearing something and something is difficult to understand, the Dadi Leela of Chaitanya Chaitamrita or certain prayers or certain technical topics, our mind shuts down, closed. We do not want to exercise the mind. But a good listener, he wants to exercise the mind, because if the mind is not exercised, what happens? It becomes flappy, like me. lot of unnecessary flesh. It becomes very inactive. Similarly, a Bhagavatam is nothing but we are trying to exercise the mind through what we hear. And everything that Bhagavatam has been speaking, we should process it with our mind, process it with our intelligence. And not just shut it down because it's too difficult to understand. And go to something which is easier to understand. Sri Radha Gopinath Prabhu has been conducting wonderful seminars on how to read Prabhupada's books and things which are difficult to understand. Some things that I know for sure, each of us have some portions which we just don't want to read. Adi Leela, so technical. I remember first, I was hankering to read Chaitanya Chaitamrita because I would hear stories about CC and I thought that I can read CC only after I finish Bhagavatam. So I asked my spiritual master, I said, is it Maharaj that I have to read my Bhagavad Gita only after reading Bhagavatam? I said, no, you can read CC also, simultaneously, no problem. And I was very happy that at last I got permission to read CC. And I opened the first Adi Leela and I was reading. And I was waiting for the leelas. But one of the technicalities, and I was so put off. Where are the leelas? It is also, the different tattvas and, the five features of this and that. Completely, mind-boggling. You don't really find any so-called nectar, but that is required. Otherwise, why should Krishnadas Raviraj Goswami give that to us in the beginning? That is required. So we should learn to exercise the mind through our hearing. Things which are difficult to understand should be inquired about, gone deeper within. I remember, and there was one magazine which came out called The Origin. You remember? And it was a new magazine. That time I was helping the BI in the old days. I was helping my brother. I was helping the BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. And I found this first magazine, Origins, and I thought I was a scientific type of person. I like to see Krishna from scientific point of view. The first book which I read also was The Scientific Wisdom of Krishna Consciousness, because I had the pride you know, that I want to see Krishna from a scientific point of view. So, you know, here the magazine came and I read from A to Z, not a word I understood. And I'm sure many of us don't understand a word of it. Because it is written for a different audience, of course. But this, the writers have gone deep within expanding their mind to understand Krishna from a wonderful perspective. Dutta Karma Prabhu, when he used lectures, it is clearly our mind gets really tired because it's exciting the mind is going here and here and here and there. That's good. We should learn to exercise the mind. Otherwise the mind gets used to only, you know, understanding Krishna in a simple, but Bhagavatam doesn't contain only the simple leaders of the Lord, but understands, but contains the intricate aspects of Krishna, which we need to understand. The time factor. The way that the spirit soul takes and how it grows in the womb of a mother. Technicalities. We should understand that. Very much part of our Bhagavatam study. So that's what is explained of the 3 points, which of course this corporation made it in a very mundane way. But they also stress the importance of hearing, the importance of listening, because that's what the material world and the spiritual world is guided by, hearing. In fact, India is making a lot of progress in financially. Why? Because of the call center industry. What is the call center industry all about? Hearing. You have to hear all the complaints of the customers. So the company finds it so useful that people should hear the complaints or the requests or whatever. There are millions of dollars being spent to hear. That much more than that is the importance of hearing in our spiritual circles. Shukadeva Goswami says that in the human society, those persons who are materially engrossed become blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subjects or methods of hearing. Which book is this? Shukadeva gives it, I don't know the sloka, but he said, those who are not wanting to advance the Krishna consciousness, there are many such methods to hear, but those who are really wanting to make progress in Krishna consciousness, what does he say? They must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller and the Savior of all miseries. If those who want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, they must hear about, glorify, and also remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our whole process of a Krishna consciousness is all about the hearing. All about how good we hear is very, very important. And Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmyam mentions different varieties of people who are listeners. The different types of listeners of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam Mahatmyam explains very nicely. It says there are 2 types of listeners. One is the superior listener, another is the inferior listener. And of the superior listeners, there are 4 types of listeners. The first type of listener is a listener in the mood of the Chataka bird. You all know the Chataka bird. The Chataka bird takes raindrop only from the clouds and not from any other water body. Similarly, just like Chataka bird does not take water from any source other than a rain cloud, one who does not hear any scripture or book other than those related with Krishna are the Chataka listeners. And for us specifically as being part of ISKCON, those who do not hear anything but as given by Srila Prabhupada are the Chataka listeners. And of course his followers. But the predominating books that are guiding our life, as Chataka bird, we want to hear only that book and nothing else. So a person who really wants to hear only about Krishna and only about the way Srila Prabhupada has given us Krishna as part of ISKCON society, we want to hear that. And that is the Chataka bird. What it means, we have to be chaste to Srila Prabhupada. The Chataka bird represents chastity of hearing. We do not hear anything else but as Prabhupada has given us. That is chastity. there are many organizations. There's one devotee whom I met, a very senior devotee. I had a high respect for him. And we were talking, and he said, there's a very wonderful speaker who just come to Bombay. I said, well, is he from ISKCON or something? He said, no, not from ISKCON, from some other organization. But he speaks exactly the Goswami philosophy. Sinadapi Suni Chena, and all these things. He said, so I went to hear. He said, you should also come, he told me. But I was not feeling very comfortable. Because we should hear the focus instead. In a matter of time, this person, even though he was hearing so-called Goswami philosophy, the same philosophy as we hear in our Bhagavatam classes, quoting both the six Goswami of Vrindavan and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, this person, because he was hearing from a different source, not connected to Prabhupada, in due course, this very senior person, many of us know him, even to a certain extent that he has left Prabhupada and joined this other organization, which is so unfortunate. And why? Because we are not in the mood of the Chataka bird. We are not really chased to Prabhupada. We want to hear the so-called nectar everywhere. We are looking for the drop of water, not only in the rain cloud which Prabhupada has given us, but rain cloud with others which look the same, which are dangerous, which are poisonous, which will strangle and ruin your spiritual life. So this is very, very important on what is the source of our hearing. Very important. The next step of hearing is the next of listener is the Swan listener. The Swan has the quality of separating the milk from water. Similarly, a very advanced listener, a person who is on a very, very advanced level of hearing, he can extract the milk from a filthy thing. We should not try to do that. When we are in a very we are in a new bird situation, we should not endanger ourselves to hearing something which is mundane. But an advanced listener, a very, very senior Vaishnav, he can extract like a swan. A swan is called a hamsa. Similarly, a paramhamsa. A person who is in a mood of a swan will extract even nectar from a soap, from otherwise looking a filthy place. Prabhupada was such a paramhamsa. He was, we were hearing that when Prabhupada was first taken to Los Angeles and for the Mantra Rock band, like Mantra Rock. And you know what it was like? It was all this psychedelic life and all these people playing all this music and everything. But Prabhupada was a very, very great paramhamsa, swan. He could extract Krishna consciousness and he made people chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Even in that fallen situation, when many of them were drug addicts and the environment was very, 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 very low class, mode of ignorance environment, Prabhupada would, when he spoke and what he chanted was so very high that he had this quality of this man. Similarly, the third type of listener is the parrot listener. Who hears from the spiritual master and repeats it as it is. Without addition or without deletion. Just conveys it as it is. I've heard that in the olden days in ISKCON, the people are so much wanting to repeat Prabhupada as it is that they would actually put a earphone in their ears and they would hear a lecture of Prabhupada and what they would speak as it is. They would of course cover it with a chadar or something and they would hear something and speak as it is. Of course, we don't need to do that, but we should hear it and repeat it as it is. That's a parent listener. Not that we hear something and then we put our own, as in Raja Gopi Prabhu said in his Vyasa offering, we should not do mental speculation, but we can do philosophical speculation. Very important, nice point. First time I heard it in my life. The speculation is allowed. Of course, within
within the philosophy, within Guru Sadhana Shastra, we can speculate. But not mental speculation, not using our mental gymnastics here and there to really, you know, convey some points. That's very dangerous. The best is to be a parrot listener. The parrot, you know what parrot does, you know. It just repeats it in his own voice, of course. And he doesn't have the same voice as the master, but his own voice says the same thing. And the fourth type of listener is the fish listener. Like the fish. The fish, while it is in the water or in a milk environment, simply keeps the eyes open and keeps on drinking the water and the milk. Similarly, as explained by Bhagavata Mahatmyam, that we, the listeners who are like the fish type, will keep their eyes open. They will be awake. They won't be sleeping while Bhagavatam is going on. And we will drink the nectar which is coming from Bhagavatam. That is the fourth type of listener. The fish type of listener, who will be very much alert, agile and active to hear the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the four types of listeners, which are the superior listeners, which we should be. All of us should try to be all the four as much as possible, to hear and repeat like the parrot, to hear very chastely from Prabhupada like a chataka bird, to take the nectar out of whatever garbage we hear as the swan, and like the fish being very attentive. Parishit Maharaj showed this. If he even slept for some time, it would have been reported by Sudha Goswami that at this point Parishit Maharaj slept. But he's repeating everything. But nowhere did he say that Parishit Maharaj was attentive, like the cat and the bird, desperate, wanting to hear everything and asking inquiries. Isn't it wonderful? The way Parishit Maharaj heard, that's the way we are supposed to hear, but we are miserably struggling, right? Miserably. That's our foreign condition. And then we have the other types of listeners, which are the inferior listeners. It says that we should, that those persons, like I know, when Satyananda Maharaj starts his class, he says, dear devotees and dear skeptics, you heard this? Yes, in his own style. That, my dear devotees and dear skeptics. So, he's, you know, they're skeptical in people who are hearing, but they're skeptical. They want to really, you know, hear in a skeptic way. So, those are the wolf type of listeners. What is the wolf? The wolf frightens the deer by making a sound. And the deer is attracted by the sweet fruit. The fruit is there and the deer is attracted. But the wolf, by the sound of the horrible sound that he makes, Prabhupada makes it, or something like that, right? If in a story he says, wow, or something. So when the deer hears the sound of the wolf, the deer gets, you know, goes away. Similarly, those skeptical people who make a lot of sound in the Bhagavatam class or in the listening class, they are the wolf type of listeners. They are taking away the deers who are trying to get attracted to the sweet fruit of Krishna through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course. And we should definitely not be like this, like the wolf listeners. But there are people like that. And we will face them when we are giving. There are people sitting in the outside world who are wanting us to be skeptical. Who are hearing, but not hearing. And the second type of inferior listeners is very, very important for all of us. Is the listeners, or rather the Bhrunda bird listeners. The Bhrunda bird stays in the Himalayas. And has explained that he instructs everyone on how to practice the things right, but does not practice it himself. Okay, I don't know this bird, but there must be a bird like that in the Himalayas, who tells everything that there's the right way, but doesn't practice himself. Only prachar, no achar. That's very dangerous. That's hypocrisy. In fact, the most dangerous thing that a devotee faces as the anartha is not so much of lust, not so much of greed, because then we can somehow struggle and fight it out. But the biggest problem I personally experienced in my own life as sadhaka,
is the problem of duplicity. What is duplicity? We want to reach a particular level and we know where we are, and the only way we can bridge that difference is by duplicity. That's the only way. Or work hard and reach that level. But we find an easy way out. We want to be just having duplicitous behavior and expose ourselves to be something which we are not. Like the Guru and the bird, talking big big philosophy. Of course, when we're sitting on this vessel seat, we're simply supposed to repeat the words of spiritual master. It's not that any of whatever I'm seeking is something which I ever follow. We have to try, it's a desperate try. But trying is important. But this Vrunda birds, they speak but they don't even try to follow it. That's dangerous. Because the conditioning, if we fall down, that's fine. That Krishna tolerates that. But duplicity means you're not even trying or just trying to throw dirt in people's eyes and showing something that you are not. And those devotees in due course of time are exposed, and they're so badly exposed that they find difficult to accept themselves as being so fallen. But they really are convinced of something which they are not. Right? When you hear something about yourself again and again, you are convinced of something which you are not. Isn't it? That's very dangerous. So along with prachar, first has to be achar. So we have this duplicity is something which is very, very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. And the other type of listener, which is of the inferior type, is the bull listener. Bull. The bull does not distinguish between sweet grapes and pungent oil cakes. You've seen a bull. The bull is a very amazing animal. If you go to Pawan Sarovar in underground and sit there for half an hour, 1 hour, you can actually study the bull. It's very nice. The bulls come there. And they are completely, in their own world, if you've ever seen the bulls. And they just come in Pawan Sarovar and they go in the Pawan Sarovar and they sit for hours, doing nothing. And one of the qualities of a bull is that they don't have much discriminating power. They don't distinguish between a sweet grapes and pungent oil cakes. Similarly, there are many, many people who say, Jato Mat Tato Pat, everything is wonderful. I know a person who is very close to me, very, very close to me in my own life. Is that everybody speaks right. Wherever you go, wherever you hear about God, you should hear. This also is right, that also is right, everything is right. No Viveka Buddhi. No discrimination of how can everything be right. How can Jatumat Satapa, does it make sense that all paths lead to Krishna? Does it really practically work that way? So we should not be like the bull. We should have proper Viveka Buddhi and understand and discriminate what is right and from what is wrong. And the last type of the inferior listener is the camel listener. A camel rejects the sweet mango leaves and chews instead the bitter neem leaves. So one who rejects the sweet narration of Krishna Katha to hear mundane topics is a camel listener. Many a times, when we come to temple, and there's wonderful classes going on, beautiful Krishna Katha, Janmashtami, we have such amazing Krishna Katha going on. But unfortunately, our mind is attracted to gossip. And we find many unfortunate devotees. Even though there's pure Krishna Katha going on, they're still in different pockets and talk about mundane subject matter. I'm not trying to be judgmental. But if you're doing that, that's the camel mentality. That we are still attracted to the stool when we are getting pure nectar in form of Krishna Katha. So this thing is not only for karmis. The karmis, they want to hear all the garbage. I'm a devotee, I want to hear Krishna. But even for a devotee, when you come to Krishna, when you come to the temple, when you go to any satsang program, we find gossip more interesting than Krishna Katha. We find management more interesting than Krishna Katha. Management while Krishna Katha is going on is Maya. In fact, we have a rule in the temple that when there is Sunday feast program, there should be no meeting. And they are strictly following it. Why? Because that's Maya. When Krishna Katha is going on, what is the use of doing management? The best management is Krishna Katha. When you have Krishna Katha, everything is managed properly. That's the principle our temple has been running, and hopefully it will keep on running. Unless and until we start debating and start finding so-called nectar, or we find interest in all these mundane topics, like the camel. Camel is a very foolish animal. Stupid, crazy animal. Bites his own tongue, drinks his own blood, and finds very, very, very nice. That's how stupid a camel is. And that's how stupid a devotee is when he's slaughtering his own life, spiritual life, and enjoying the slaughter by doing gossip. But gossip is slaughtering his own spiritual life. He's tasting his own blood and finding it very blissful. That's dangerous. Right? So we should understand that this Bhagavata Mahatmyam speaks about these listeners, and we should struggle and try to help be one of the superior listeners. Why? Why should we hear Bhagavatam attentively? There's a beautiful sloka from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which speaks. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. It is especially dear to the Vaishnavas. It has knowledge that is especially appreciated by the Paramahansas. When carefully studied, heard, and understood again and again, it opens the door to pure devotion through which one never returns to the bondage of illusion. Very nice words. Let us read it again, the second part. When carefully studied, number one, to study it carefully. Number two, when carefully heard, the four types, and understood, and the important word is again and again. Very important. Bhagavatam should be heard again and again and again. It should never be a time where we find Bhagavatam very, this I have heard. This is not something very important. I have heard all this. This word that you should hear it again and again, it opens the door to pure devotion, through which one never returns. This is the point of no return. I don't know what a wonderful sloka. It promises you. It is the point of no return, and that's what we want. We do not want to come back into this world of illusion. We want to go to the back to the kingdom of God, which is full of knowledge, full of bliss, and full of ecstasy. And how is it possible? By hearing, by studying, and by understanding it again and again and again. That is the power. That is the power of hearing. It's going through when he's offering. He mentioned how Prabhupada was such an amazing example of personal devotee. He heard to the extent he took a fake certificate, medical certificate, to just prove that he's not able to hear properly, so that he can sit in the front bench, right? So he could hear. One of the highlights that Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur observed in Prabhupada was a very brilliant story. This was in Koshi Kalan in Vrindavan. Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur was speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, first canto. Everybody had gone to see Sri Sai Vishnu, to sightseeing. Prabhupada, Abhacharya was really hearing. And Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said, this person likes to hear. That's why he'll speak very well. This person likes to hear. Because Prabhupada had all the qualities of the Kataka bird. When the Guru is speaking, there's nothing else more important. Now, when the drop of water is falling from the rain cloud, and for which the Kataka bird is anchoring for so many years, and when that drop comes, we can't go to see something else. We can't do that. And that was the quality of Prabhupada. He loved to hear. So it is this Shravana Indriya, this hearing senses, which is always alert 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, till the time we die.
Kishori Mataji, my wife who works in the spiritual care department, you know, the many patients who come to the hospital unconscious. When they come, they come with unconscious. They have no life. They are not even moving. They are in coma, comatose condition. And the spiritual nurses, the spiritual care department goes and gives them spiritual care, and along with that there is a lot of medical care given. When they come out of their unconscious situation, many patients have told them that the only thing we remember, even though we were in coma situation, when we entered the hospital we could hear the Kirtana Prabhupada. Can you imagine? This was such a miraculous thing. They come out of the coma situation that we just heard Prabhupada chanting. Because this hospital, Bhakti Hospital, is such a fabulous hospital. That moment somebody entered in every corridor in the lift, and you'll be surprised, even in the mortuary, the Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna. We had a meeting with Raghunath Swami Maharaj. He said, why don't you put Mahamantra in the mortuary? Why should that be so? Because even the subtle guys who are sitting there, the people with subtle bodies, they should also hear Mahamantra. That is the power of the hearing. Even though you are dead externally, but your hearing is so powerful. So hearing. And you expect the Prabhupada in one of the purports. The eagerness to hear Krishna Katha opens the door to the spiritual world. Very powerful statement. It's not just the hearing, but as explained in this verse also. What is Parishan Maharaj saying? My dear Brahmana, I and all seniors present with me are eager to know about this. In other words, they said, if you want, you can tell us, otherwise it's okay. We have this query, but we want to know, we're eager to know. We cannot go further till we explain this point. That was the eagerness. And that is the eagerness a student of Bhagavatam should have. That hearing, Prabhupada writes the purport, the eagerness to hear opens the door to the spiritual world. That is what is required. And Prabhupada had that amazing eagerness to the extent that he was so eager that Prabhupada would come and hear his own disciples speaking. Prabhupada would come and in our own temple, the leader of the temple, put the speaker on in his room to hear his babies, people whom he has trained right from their infancy, speaking Bhagavatam. And he finds a great leather, he finds a relish in hearing this. Why? Because he has eagerness to hear. And it is not so important who speaks. Because Krishna is speaking to that person. That is the philosophy. And Krishna also loves to hear. I would like to end with a small story, which we heard from His Holiness Sadhinandan Swami Maharaj. That Krishna was performing a very big yajna in Dwarka. He was Dwarkadish, resting in Dwarka. From a very big yajna then, Dwapar Yuga, big yajna. Dwapar Yuga is Diti version, right? Diti version. But of course, they were performing big yajna. And the Vrijavasis came there. And the different, the Gopas were singing their own songs. The Gopis were singing their own songs for Krishna. And Mother Yashoda was singing her own song. Satyana Maharaj says, she was singing, Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopal, Nandalal, Krishna Govinda. And she was singing very softly. She didn't want to disturb. And she approached the door, the main door. And the people at the door said, who are you? Why are you here? Because Mother Yashoda and Nandamaharaj, they look very simple. They said, what are you doing here? I said, you want to come and see Krishna? I said, Krishna is doing big yajna. You can't disturb him now. Wait. After doing the yajna, you can go and meet him. Mother Yashoda said, fine. Mother Yashoda knew that Krishna is not even his holy name. So she was ready to see Krishna by chanting his holy names. So she was chanting Krishna's holy names. Very softly. But while Krishna was performing the yajna and all the hundreds of brahmanas were chanting big yajnas and mantras and, purushottam prayers, very loudly, amplified voice, the only thing that Krishna could hear, over and above all the amplified voice of all the brahmanas chanting big yajnas, was the soft chanting of Mother Yashoda, which was amplified in Krishna's ears. So Krishna also loves to hear his pure devotees chanting his holy names. And Krishna was so much captivated by the chant of Mother Yashoda, by the singing of Mother Yashoda, that Krishna got up from the seat that he was sitting while he was performing the yajna. He ran, and there was so much parental love that Mother Yashoda was having, that while running, Krishna got changed into a small boy from Dwarkadish. He ran and took Mother Yashoda to him on his lap. So this is how Krishna also gets attracted to hearing. And Krishna is very much attracted to his own holy names. So how much more we, a small, minute, fragmental portion of Krishna, who definitely need to hear to get purified, should be so attentive to hear his holy names. And now Krishna is more attached to the pure telling of his holy names compared to the scholarly chanting of the Purusha Suktas and big prayers. This is just a small story to end. So herein, this particular passage, the soul, the most perfected being, Parikshit Maharaj, he perfected his life by Shravanam. Sudha Goswami perfected his life by Kirtanam. And here is the example of the best hearer in the world, Parikshit Maharaj. And how did he hear is being shown to us in these verses. So as Shravanam the Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami is telling us in between, reminding us again and again, these verses, such verses come again and again in Bhagavatam, telling us what was the desperation of Parikshit Maharaj. Why this is mentioned? So that we, the students of Bhagavatam, understand the mood of Parikshit Maharaj while he was hearing Srimad Bhagavat Katha. And where Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully has given us this process of every morning the Bhagavatam classes. It was such a wonderful process. Prabhupada has given this process to us. Every morning, we bathe our consciousness through this wonderful Krishna Katha. And how do we bathe? By being very, very attentive. When we are bathing, if we don't know where to throw water on, we throw water somewhere else, and we will not be clean. If we are sleeping while bathing, how can you sleep while bathing? Right? We have to be very attentive. We have to attentive to clean all part of our body. We can't be spaced out while bathing. Similarly, all of us, we take baths in the morning to bathe our body. But when we come to Bhagavatam class, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are bathing our consciousness. We are bathing our mind and our intelligence. And it's purifying it. So let us do it very attentively. And you please pray that I can do it attentively. And we always pray that everybody can do it attentively. So that we can, in this very lifetime, take advantage of this powerful process of hearing and chanting. And go back to God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any comments by my senior Vaishnava sitting here? Yes, Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Your hands are scaring me. Right.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. After your class on hearing, the eagerness to ask has increased. His Grace Ras Mandal Prabhu was mentioning in Mayapur that there are explicit way of delivering the class and there is an implicit way of delivering. And I don't know whether you are consciously or unconsciously you have delivered both. Explicitly you were telling about the importance of hearing, and implicitly you showed to the whole audience about how you have been hearing by quoting three offerings of Prabhupada's. You didn't speak, but you were hearing, and by implicitly quoting three devotees who spoke and emphasizing the point that they made appropriately, you have implicitly delivered how you have practicing what you are preaching. So at least you are not a Gurunda bird for sure.
It's a way to say.
I have not heard properly, so.
I'll tell you. It is B-H-U-R-U-N-D-A.
Gurunda. I heard it right. However, my wolf-like mentality forces me to ask another question, clarify. And that is, you were emphasizing about being a chataka bird, faithful to Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes people criticize, make an allegation that you people are so much narrow-minded. You become narrow-minded by being only restricting yourself to a few books. You should understand, see the world, and go into deep. You know? So how do we accommodate this, or how do we convince them, or how do we reply to them?
The way I understand is that Prabhupada, while he was writing the commentaries to Srimad Bhagavatam, he was having a couple of books on his table referring the commentaries of all the acharyas and taking the essence from all of them, and he has given us, he has done the hard work and given us the ready-made substance already here. And it is not that we are trying to say that what others are speaking is wrong or what others are speaking is not to be heard. But first of all, whether we have digested everything that Prabhupada has spoken is very, very important. And by just reading Prabhupada's books, majority of the time, it is not that we are trying to be narrow-minded, but we are just trying to be chaste. It is not that when a wife is loyal to the husband, she can be termed as narrow-minded. But why don't we talk to other men? Why don't we associate with other men? What is the harm? You know, we should not be so narrow-minded. Husband is your husband, no doubt, but why? So that's not narrow-mindedness. It is just chastity to the person who has given us entrance to Krishna consciousness. And this is what even our own spiritual masters have told us, and they are practicing it themselves, that even after 2 or 3 decades of Krishna consciousness activity, majority of their reading is Prabhupada's books. So, the way I understand it, in my own little capacity, the way I understand it, we are simply supposed to do what has been told to us to do. And the way we have been told is we should be thoroughly digesting. Of course, Prabhupada has given so much that it will be impossible to digest everything. So we should be, in as much as possible, reading Prabhupada's books and trying to understand the way Prabhupada has spoken about Krishna consciousness. Just so that that's the way he wanted us to grow in Krishna consciousness. That's the way he wanted us to really understand Krishna. And being part of his society, we should be loyal to. That's what I say. It's not, I don't think it is narrow-mindedness. It's just being too safe. That's what I understand. But of course, I know you know the answer. So you please speak now. No, I personally feel I'm not a very person with a lot of intelligence. So I prefer to just listen to what I've been told to do. And you know, I've been told to read Prabhupada's books. Even though the books are very attractive. But I personally have felt that they're attractive because they're different words used. But the substance is the same. The highest rasa tattva is there in everywhere. You know, maybe they are presented in the more, maybe in the more flowery language and more of those high level languages. Prabhupada was such an amazing person. He just presented in a very lucid and simple way, but the substance was as powerful and as precious and as unadulterated and as pure and as high as it anybody can present it. And the fact is that the people who are reading Prabhupada's books predominantly end up going back to Godhead. So the result, what is that? Falena, what is that? That you can judge something by the results. and people are going back to God, why do we need to read anything else when we can go back to God by reading Prabhupada's books? Going to please, you are my savior, please answer this question. Other books also, so I can't answer. No, but yes, if you are referring some books after properly understood, Going Prabhu can do that. But I still remember Raghunath Swami Maharaj giving lecture in Ahobalam temple. Ahobalam, on the third day, he spoke that how devotees are, when there's a book of Prabhupada lying, nobody goes there, but if one new book lies, everybody just goes and just reads all the new book, because the new nectar, but they don't really want to see the tons of nectar that are in Prabhupada's books. I remember Brother Maharaj saying that our yatras, to the extent we can develop more Prabhupada consciousness, there's a perfection of yatras. And similarly, to the extent, whatever we read, if it is helping us to become more committed to Prabhupada, that is perfect. One thing we can understand is, one is to receive inspiration. We receive inspiration from Prabhupada's books. But for preaching, we may need information. So we can't substitute from Prabhupada's books for inspiration to some other books. So their understanding is very clear. And for information, just like you presented this is not from Prabhupada's books. This is from Bhagavat Mahatmya. This is information which is very valuable to understand and read Prabhupada's books. So therefore, their understanding has to be very clear. Otherwise, it will be misunderstood. Because for information, updating our understanding of the present world, we may seek information. But that information should not be changing our source of inspiration. Information should not change our inspirational shelter, which is basically coming from Prabhupada's books. Therefore, one is for reference and one is for taking shelter. Prabhupada's books are meant for taking shelter. And if you need to preach, which we see a lot of devotees present from many parts of books and other information. So, we are not being fanatical about only saying, okay, all information is there. Yes, all information is there in regards to going back to Godhead. But if you need to preach, then many devotees, even those who say one should read only, even Jayadrath Maharaj is very loyal to Prabhupada. Just now he sent one book to one devotee, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. It's a mundane book about how to write, not written by a devotee. But he gave it to me to give it to Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. But doesn't mean that he's disloyal to Prabhupada. He's giving that guidance, okay, read this book through which you can, like Maharaj is writing his book, he asked me to get some books, which is not Prabhupada's books, it's a mundane book. But he said, this is a favorite books of Jayadrath Maharaj. He refers. Why? Because there is a writing style. So, we don't have the confusion of why is he reading other books other than Prabhupada's books. But to enhance his inspiration in reading Prabhupada's books and presenting Prabhupada's books in an essay form in BTG, he's referring to books, the information, like he only said. And I asked that question about why Pandavas approached demigods for before the battle, before fighting Karna, Arjuna approached Lord Shiva, Mother Durga. He said, as a devotee to serve Krishna, it is just like asking somebody, see, can you give my key for your room? You're not taking shelter of them, but you're just asking your keys so that you can open the temple or room. So that's not really taking shelter. Similarly, I understand it's very clear that on his information, on his inspiration.
Another thing also, in earlier days when we have CC class, Swaminath Radhana Swami Maharaj made a very nice statement. He said, first become thoroughly well versed with Srila Prabhupada's books. And with that point of view, then when you see the world, then you can be able to take the nectar from the poison. Otherwise, when you jump into the poison for a drop of nectar, or you know, if you dive into the filth to get the nectar, you will come out more filthy than the nectar part, and you will lose it, you will not even find it. So, Himself was saying, Lord, practically 40 hours of reading Prabhupada's books, I may have 20 minutes of. Yeah, of 20 hours and 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah. So, for 20 hours or something, 40 hours of reading Prabhupada's books, I have 20 minutes of reading other for information. Just like having read Prabhupada's books very nicely, when you read the Steady Foundation or whatever, Steady Corporation, listening, immediately you could connect. Otherwise, if you had heard the person who has not thoroughly read Prabhupada's books and reads Steady Corporation's logo or whatever motto, he may be so inspired that he may join them and, you know, become a part of them. So, if solid foundation is based on Prabhupada's books, then we may go and pick whatever we want, whatever, just to present it in a very effective way according to the situation and audience. This is my understanding of that.
Thank you very much, Guruji. I remember when devotees start taking inspiration from other things, then they fall down. That's, they go to different organizations and not nothing to do with spiritual life, but they just talk about being good and everything. When devotees start taking inspiration, then they fall down. You know, there are many organizations, Maharaj was saying, that the biggest danger, different forums, I hope you understand those who know. It's very dangerous. They speak, but when they get the inspiration from them, they completely fall down and they find Krishna to be non-existent. They find Krishna to be a strange personality because they're brainwashed completely. So Guru's point is brilliant. That our inspiration should always be from those books. Information could be from other places. Thank you very, very much, my dear senior devotees, for helping me. Shri Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Parikshit Maharaj ki.